It's hot. I don't know what to do with myself. And look at those poor birds looking for water.
Hello and welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Carol, and it is so good to be together again. What's the weather like where you are today? We had some really hot weather last summer. It was very hot for several days at a time. Now, I know some places are always hot, but we're not used to it, and some people were badly affected. So, Tammy and I have done some research about how to cope during those hot days, and we thought we'd share some of that with you today. Fran is here too, and she comes from Australia, and it can get very hot there, can it, Fran?
Hello, my friends. Yes, it does get very hot here. The Aboriginal people of Australia became really good at managing the heat. They learned how to find water in the desert and how to find any little bit of shade or breeze. But I really suffer in hot weather.
While we were living in Africa, I found out that extremely hot temperatures, or simply being in the sun for too long, can have serious effects. Everyone should take extra care during very hot weather, but some people are more at risk of being badly affected. Old people, babies, and young children, as well as pregnant women and sick people, need extra care. For example, we should never, ever leave a baby or a child or a pet in a car in hot weather, not even for a few minutes. They can very quickly get heat exhaustion and die. If sick people don't get enough water, they can get dehydrated. Their whole body gets too dry, and sometimes people can die from this. So the first thing to remember is to drink extra fluids in hot weather. Not alcohol and not coffee. Really cold water is the best thing to drink. If you have a refrigerator, cool your water. And stay in the shade if possible. Or wear a big shady hat and do your work in the morning or the evening.
I was affected by heat once when I was bushwalking in the hills in hot weather. The walk took much longer than we expected, and I didn't have enough water. I was sweating a lot, and I had a bad headache and felt quite sick. I just couldn't keep walking.
What did you do, Fran?
Well, some of my friends gave me a bit of their water to drink and to wet my head. I found a place in the shade where there was some breeze, and I lay down for an hour until it got cooler. One of my friends walked on and found a stream with water and brought it back so we all had enough. I felt quite scared, actually, but it was okay in the end when we got to the lovely lake. But I will never go walking again without plenty of water.
That's really good advice. People who are dehydrated might also get cramps in the muscles and puffy feet. If they have heat exhaustion, their temperature gets high, but their skin becomes cold and clammy, and they might even vomit. This is dangerous, and they need to get medical help quickly. If this happens, the best thing to do is to rest in a cool, shady place with your feet lifted up a bit higher than your heart. Drink plenty of fluids, but remember, not alcohol or caffeine. Don't drink anything like coffee or cola. If you have water, you can spray yourself with it, especially your head. Or use a fan to cool you down. You can massage the muscles if they have spasms, and if you have ice or wet cloths, put them on the back of your neck and under the arms or your legs.
So it's all about cooling down the body and having lots to drink and getting medical help if the person is getting cold or clammy and vomiting.
That's right. And it's a good thing to remember. You might save someone's life on a very hot day.
I love my pets. We have a dog and a cat, and I love the birds and squirrels outside. And I know that animals can be badly affected by heat very quickly. The native animals usually manage to survive in hot weather, but your pets, like dogs and cats, need your help. You can tell when they're too hot, they often pant a lot and become weak and distressed. It's really important to keep them safe, cool, and drinking plenty. I got some suggestions from the vet. He said to put out extra bowls of water in case one is tipped over. If you have a refrigerator or ice, you can put ice in their water bowl. Make sure there are shady places they can reach. Sometimes you can see a dog tied up in the sun where it can't get water or shade. That's really cruel.
My daughter has a very furry little dog, and she gives him a haircut in the summer so he can cool down.
Good idea. Or spray him with water often, or put out a tub of water he can get into. We had a big dog, a Labrador, and he loved his little kiddie pool of water to play in on hot days. If you can keep small animals inside on hot days, it's better for them. Take them for a walk in the morning or evening when it's cooler. But for large animals like cattle, do make sure they've got plenty of shade and plenty of water. My dad's cows love to walk out to the middle of the pond and put out water for the birds. They get thirsty too.
Here on Women of Hope, we've talked about looking after ourselves and our pets in very hot weather. But there's another very common problem in hot weather: food poisoning.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Food that's not handled properly will make you sick because it has bad germs in it, bacteria, or viruses, or parasites that will make themselves at home in your gut. And they just love moist food and warm weather. It doesn't take them long to increase in numbers till there are millions of these tiny creatures. You can't see them, and you might not be able to smell them. And that's why we have to be so careful when we prepare and store food.
These bacteria especially like to grow in unpasteurized milk, raw or uncooked meat, fish, and chicken. They also like eggs and leftover food, like cooked rice or noodles and salads.
I've had food poisoning. I ate fish that wasn't very fresh. I remember I felt so sick, and I vomited and had diarrhea. But a day later, I felt better again, though a bit weak.
Yes, healthy young people can usually get over food poisoning if it's not too serious. But people who are sick or old or very young can lose so much fluid from vomiting and diarrhea that they will get really ill. They have stomach cramps, bad headaches, and sometimes they can even die. One sort of bacteria, Listeria, can cause miscarriages. So let me tell you what we found out about preventing food poisoning. First, always, always, always wash your hands before you prepare food, and when they get food on them.
You ladies are always telling us to wash our hands, and it's good advice. So, what else?
People who have a stomach infection should not prepare the food. Don't let flies crawl on your food. They can carry these bacteria. And don't use food if it looks or smells bad. It's not worth the risk of getting sick. It's really important to cook eggs, meat, and any flesh foods right through to kill any of the bacteria. Don't eat them raw or half-cooked unless they are absolutely fresh.
Like if you just caught the fish yourself.
Yes, or you just collected the egg from under the hen. Now, if there's any food left over when you serve the meal, put it into a cool place right away. If you have a refrigerator, that's the best place for it. You don't have to wait till the food gets cold. If you don't have a refrigerator or an icebox, it's best not to keep any cooked meat, fish, or poultry in hot weather. Eat it as soon as it's cooked.
These bacteria also live in contaminated water. So any water we drink or use in our cooking needs to be clean. And we often talk about that too.
You know, probably the most important thing is just not to let raw meat touch other food. Don't let the blood from meat drip onto food. If it drips on the counter where you work, wipe it up. I've learned to keep a separate chopping board just for my meat, and then I wash it separately.
Okay, we've talked about a lot, and that's a lot of things to remember. So let's go over it again. First, preparing food. Wash your hands. Keep the flies away. Use clean water. And don't let raw meat touch other food.
Then cooking food. Cook eggs, meat, fish, and poultry right through and serve it while it's hot.
And don't take any risks. My mother always used to say, if in doubt, throw it out.
And storing food. Store it quickly in a cool place and keep different kinds of food separate. So I hope we've all reminded ourselves about how to keep cool and well in hot weather. Now, I would like a cold drink of water, please.
Do you know the Easter story in God's Word, the Bible? It's not about Easter eggs or chocolates or rabbits, though some people just think about those things. No, it's about the time when our Lord, Jesus Christ, was crucified and died and then came back to life. This didn't just happen all of a sudden. I'd like to tell you some of the things that Jesus said and did in the weeks before he died. Today, I want to tell you a story from the part of the Bible written by Mark in the 10th chapter. Jesus and his followers were walking from town to town. His followers were sure that Jesus was the Messiah, the descendant of great King David, the Saviour whom God had promised would be king over his people. They also knew that Jesus had many enemies, especially in Jerusalem, the capital city. So they were surprised, and some of them were a bit frightened when Jesus led the way and turned up the road towards Jerusalem. So Jesus called his 12 special companions and told them what would happen to him. He said, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the religious authorities. They will condemn him to die and hand him over to the Roman soldiers. They will mock him and spit on him, beat him and kill him. 3 days later, he will come back to life."
That was very clear, wasn't it? Jesus often called himself the Son of Man. He was showing them that he would die as any other human dies and that they shouldn't be surprised. Maybe he was warning them that it was dangerous for them to follow him, though he also said that he would come alive again.
It sounds like Jesus was fully prepared to die. He deliberately set out for Jerusalem, where his enemies were, though he knew they wanted to kill him. Why do you think he would do that? Let's keep listening and see if we can find out.
But I don't think Jesus' friends really understood. Listen to what happened next. Two of these friends were brothers, called James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want to ask you for a favour." "What is it?" asked Jesus. They said, "When you are king, let one of us sit on your right hand and one at your left hand, in the most important positions." Jesus replied, "You don't realize what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I'm going to have to drink? Or go through the waters that I will be plunged into?" He was warning them again of the dangers ahead. He was asking if they would be with him as he suffered. would they suffer for his sake? Yes, we can, they said confidently. Then Jesus warned them again, but he said he couldn't promise who would sit by his side. Later the other followers heard about this, and they were angry at James and John for trying to get the best places. So Jesus called them all together and said, you all know how godless rulers like to show their power over others. It shouldn't be like that with you. Instead, whoever wants to be truly great must be your servant. If you want to lead, you must become a slave. That's what I have done. Even the Son of Man didn't come to have people serve him. No, he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom so that many could be set free.
We've heard this story before on Women of Hope. So what did you think about James and John's request? They sounded very confident that Jesus would be king, almost as though they didn't understand what he had just told them.
And it sounds as if they wanted to have the honor of being advisors to the king. I guess we can understand that. Most of us like to be important, don't we? We like people to praise us. And often, we don't want to do the quiet work of a servant. We want to be boss. We want to be powerful. We want to get the credit.
Jesus really is king of the universe. And one day, everyone will see that. But Jesus chose to be like a servant when he came to earth. He wants us to be like that. So what do good servants do? They think first about how to make their employer happy and comfortable. They do what they're told. They might have a very responsible job or a very humble job, but they work hard and don't expect their work to be specially noticed. They're just happy to do their best and make things better for others, and they feel proud of their work.
You know, I was just thinking, if we're servants, our real master or boss is God himself and not other people. And he would be the best boss. He sees what we do for him and for others, and he appreciates it and rewards us. We don't have to worry about missing out. One day, friend, God will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Won't that be wonderful?
It will. But I want us to notice especially what Jesus said. That is what I have done. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Jesus was with his Father God in heaven, but he chose to come and live and die as one of us, to serve us. He said he came to give his life as a ransom to set many people free. That's why he took the rocky road to Jerusalem. That was God's purpose when he sent Jesus. You might wonder how Jesus' life became a ransom. A ransom is a price that's paid to set someone free. It's a very costly price. The Bible says that we were like slaves to sin. But when Jesus died, he paid the punishment that we deserved and set us free. Now we're free to be friends with God, to know his love, and to serve him joyfully. We're free to follow the example of Jesus and serve each other.
Imagine what it would be like if all those who worship God acted like good servants to each other. If we all wanted to help others and we didn't care about getting praised. What if we were willing to work hard even if people didn't notice? If we tried to find quiet ways to bless other people, our homes sure would be happier, wouldn't they? Our churches and communities would be happier. We would all be happier. And God would be happy because we would become more like Jesus in our hearts. Maybe we could learn those words of Jesus. Would you like to repeat them after me? The Son of Man didn't come to have people serve him. No, he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom so that many could be set free.
Those words tell us why Jesus came. Jesus made a great sacrifice so that God could forgive you and me, and we could be put right with him. I wonder, have you thanked God for that and asked Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior?
Those words also remind us about how we should live as humble, faithful servants of God and of each other. Let's ask God to give us servant hearts just like Jesus.
This week, let's practice serving others and see what happens. We might be surprised.
Now it's time for us to finish. It's been so good to spend this time with you. I wonder if you will remember something we talked about and make some changes in your life. We would love to get an email or a letter from you. You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is womenofhope@twr.org. That's womenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week, filled with God's blessings.
And Tammy, here's your glass of cold water.